The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
Better ghost hunter, be a better investigator, be a better researcher with the help of 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Maller, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Bonus edition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks, my little way of giving back to the paranormal field. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you 100% that I know everything there is to know about paranormal investigation. This isn't an ego thing, and honestly, I could care less if you take anything I say seriously. But what I will say is this: if you really want to be a ghost hunter, you should listen to those who've been out doing it, you know? So you want to be a ghost hunter? We should hang out sometime. Until then, check out these tips and tricks to help you on your own journey, or maybe you won't have to leave your house at all. The journey is never on foot. It is inside your mind, my friend. If just one of these tips helps you in any way, I'm happy, and it is my pleasure to bring this information to you. I lacked many mentors on my journey, and it would be my honor to be yours. For that very reason, you do not have to take anything I say here seriously. This is not me writing the Bible of paranormal investigation. Once again, this is not an ego thing. This is me trying my best to give back to the paranormal field, a field I feel has absolutely no mentors in it, or definitely not enough. And, you know, I just want to be a part of that, and I want to be part of your journey. I think it'd be really, really cool. And to be honest, I really lacked that. You know, I never had that when I got into this. So many years ago, I tried my best to join a local paranormal investigating team. And basically, they told me to fly away, go away. They told me I had no visible skills to add to their team. Nothing to bring to the table, we'll say. Nothing to bring to their team that could really help out. I had no skills they would need. Now, mind you, that was 5 years ago. This is today. And I'm a best-selling author on the subject of electronic voice phenomena. I'm a well-known podcaster. I do public speaking. I'm at houses all the time. I'm really the go-to guy for electronic voice phenomena here in Newfoundland. And that's all there is to it. I'm more than just a podcaster. So, in my own little strange way, this is my way of giving you a little trick and treat. The treat is all the tips, and the trick are all the tricks and tips you're about to get. So there you go. Happy Halloween. Enjoy the bonus content. This will be a two-part episode because it's going to be very, very long. I have 101 ghost hunting hacks for you guys. So I really hope that you guys get a chance to download this and the next episode, which will be coming out within the coming weeks, hopefully before Halloween. So there you go. Without further ado, I'd like to dig in. So get comfortable. Open up your mind and open up your ears, and this is 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks. Ghost hunting hack number one, investigating alone is frowned upon. Now, to be honest, I've done this myself, but always in a safe place. It's better to hunt with somebody else, or for many reasons, such as safety, validation of claims, and the fun factor. Guys, I've done this for many years, and I've done it by myself and in groups, and it's always more fun in groups. But being with groups contaminate your data. It's as simple as that. If you're in a house with like 20, 30 people investigating, chances are the footsteps you're picking up don't belong to the deceased owner. They belong to your good buddy Ed upstairs who probably forgot to let you know that he's up there. Okay? So think about it this way. You can investigate alone, but it has to be done properly. From many points of view, the point of view I want you to take is this. I can do a hunt here with 10 people, or I can do it by myself. What's going to give me the best results? What's going to give me the most valid data? If you don't care about valid data, then I guess ghost hunting tip number one doesn't really apply to you. Ghost hunting hack number two, know your area. Knowing the layout and history of a place might seem boring, but if you're doing a residence or even an outdoor venture, knowing your area makes things 100% easier on you and your team members. Guys, I've written extensively about it. There are objects, there are places, there are things that seem to have spiritual energy attached to it. If I'm going to a graveyard, am I going to go to the part of the graveyard that nobody's ever really been to, that's full of open plots where you can fall in and break your leg? No. I'm going to go to the part of the cemetery I know that I can get to very easily and safely. Guys, know your area is a great ghost hunting tip. Don't go in blind. Ghost hunting hack number three, utility belt. Yeah, I said it. A utility belt. Batman had it all figured out, folks. Even a jacket with lots of pockets can be your best friend on an investigation. It's simple math. You have two hands and probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pieces of gear. Seriously, are you actually going to pack up your case and leave every single time you go to another room? Probably not. Folks, get a belt. Get a jacket with lots of pockets. Do yourself a favor and make things easier on you. Ghost hunting hack number four, use the best equipment you can afford. If it's not the best gear in the world, do not worry. That will come in time. I am still using recorders I used 5 years ago. There you go, I said it. You don't have to have top-of-the-line best ghost hunting gear ever. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Chances are, if you're out in the field and you're investigating, you've probably come across one or two pieces of equipment you've become attached to. It's something you love to use. Stick with those. Honestly, guys, you don't need the $7,000 piece of gear to collect data. You really don't. I have a very thrifty ghost hunting kit that I use everywhere I go. And one thing I will say to you, from a paranormal investigator to you, I will say this. It doesn't matter how expensive your recorders are, or your spirit boxes, or what models they are, so that it's got nothing to do with that. It's the intent behind what you're doing. And that's something we'll talk a little bit more later in the podcast. Ghost hunting hack number five. Make investigating your hobby, because more than likely, you won't make a whole lot of money at this, if any at all. And if you do, can I please have a loan? I've been at this 5 years, guys. I do it out of the goodness of my heart. I do it because I believe in it. I do it because it's a spiritual thing for me, okay? Make it your hobby. Make it something you love. And the moment you don't love it anymore, get out of the field, because there's so many crooked and anal and self-centered and crazy people out there who just can't wait to bring you down. I'm here to lift you up a little bit. Paranormal investigating can be a lot of fun. Going over data can be a lot of fun. It can be exhilarating. It could change people's lives. It could change your life, okay? So keep that in mind. Keep it fun, okay? Stop going out there crooked. If you're in a bad mood, don't even leave your house. Ghost hunting hack number six. As much as I love what comes on TV, it's very hard to know what is reality and what is reality TV, in quotation marks, folks. You may be getting staged events or very little of the actual evidence because it is not believable enough. Do your own thing, my friends. Besides, why would you want to be like everybody else anyhow? That fad is dying out and the wannabes are the first to go. If you've been investigating for, say, 2 or 3 years even, you've probably noticed there's been multiple teams in your area that have started up and died. You want to know why? Chances are they started up for the wrong reasons. The people who are still doing this, people who've been doing this for 10, 20, 30 years are not doing this to be on TV. Okay? They're doing this because they love it. They're doing this because they're looking for answers themselves. They're doing it. I will admit there's some people out there who are doing it for the rush. They want the rush of capturing a ghost, whether it's a voice or a picture or a video. There's reasons why people do this. I'm going to tell you my reason. My reason is because I have absolutely no idea what happens to me when I die. And I want to know that. So my idea is that maybe perhaps a part of me lives on somewhere as a ghost. What's your reason for doing this? Turn off the TV. You can come up with a better reason than that. Ghost hunting hack number seven. Break down your investigations before you review your evidence. Do each stage separately. In other words, be thorough with your evidence and timestamp absolutely everything. No activity at 8 o'clock p.m. does not necessarily mean no activity at 3 o'clock a.m. Not knowing the difference is just plain laziness. As an electronic voice phenomena researcher, I will tell you right now, I have clocked thousands of hours with headphones in my ears, listening to absolutely nothing to find but a handful, maybe a couple of hundred now, 5 years into this, of true, really, really good EVP. And let me tell you, it's those other 1,000 hours, man, that get you there, okay? I got there by being organized. I timestamp absolutely everything I do. Everything. Ghost hunting hack number 8. Dress in layers. Your comfort is key when concentrating. I mean, something as simple as that. You'd be surprised how many times I've gone out with people to go on a paranormal investigation, and all I hear is, I'm cold. I can't do this anymore. It's like, you gotta be prepared, man. You gotta be prepared. Dress in layers. And you gotta be comfortable. You could be sitting in a dark hovel, infested with rats, you know, with spiders and bugs. Okay, well, you're probably not gonna investigate there. That's just me. I'm just gonna throw this out there to you. I've had to pop a squat in some of the weirdest places in Newfoundland, and it's friggin' cold here 9 months out of the year. I dress in layers. You should too. Ghost hunting hack number 9, stock up on batteries. Now, here's one we can all agree with, I'm sure. Take them out of their packages and place them upright in a Tupperware container. Place a container in your case. 30 batteries can take up next to no room this way, and you'll always have them at the ready. Discard batteries that are running low or dead, it's a time saver. There you go. You know, at the end of your investigation, you're just kind of wanting to go home. You had enough. Guess what you want to do? You want to take your batteries out of your gear. You want to toss your batteries to the side, and that's that, right? But guess what? Now you're going to set yourself up for false claims of battery drain. It's going to happen. How many times have I done that to myself and realized later, oh my God, those stupid batteries, I must have not taken them out of my device. So there you go. Make sure you change out your batteries before and after an investigation, okay? And try that Tupperware idea, man. That's something that's really, really helped me in the field a lot. Those batteries are upright, so you know they're all going to be, you know, kind of in working condition and kept dry, of course, free of moisture in your case if they're in a Tupperware. So there you go. Ghost hunting hack number 10. I do not practice Reiki or chakra alignment, but I have a knowledge of how crystals are used in healing as well as protection. I carry 3 different quartz crystals in my case at all times. Be knowledgeable about anything protective you bring with you and believe in it. I truly believe that intent is what makes these things actually work for you. A rabbit's foot, a lucky clump of belly button lint, or a picture of Elvis, skinny Elvis, may work better than fat Elvis, just letting you know, can all be good as long as you believe and have the intent to be protected. I have come across people in the field who swear by praying to Archangel Michael. I've come across people in the field who carry crosses. I've come across people in the field who carry nothing and believe in nothing, and to this day are very happy doing that. And just throwing this out there to you guys, if you want to be protected, open your mind to different options, okay? That's what that ghost hunting hack is all about. I'm a big fan of crystals because I haven't got to do anything. I just carry them, as opposed to having to say prayers or whatever. Just a thought out there for all of you out there who may be trying to put on some of that spiritual armor. Ghost hunting hack number 11. Try to ask less yes and no questions while doing EVP sessions. It just solidifies your evidence when you have multiple word replies, in my opinion. I wouldn't even consider a yes or a no question, even though it's in direct response to a question I've asked, okay? I'm telling you, those are so easily to misinterpret, especially if you're using a spirit box. Like, it's so easy to get a yip and a yap and a yap when you're hearing that thing scan radio station. So I'm just going to throw this out there to you guys. Multiple word, audible to the ear, intelligently communicated, and in direct response. Made communications, baby. I wrote about it in my book. It's what it's all about. Stop using yes or no questions. You'll get a reply, and it's probably going to be, I don't know, probably just a radio thing. Okay, so just throwing it out to you. Ghost hunting hack number 12, trust your team or don't use them. If you don't trust them, leave them. Your credibility is all you have, and all it takes is one jealous person who wants to be the star, and you get your name dragged through the mud. It almost happened to me, so it could happen to you, and that is something very personal. I will say to you right now, I had, just don't do it. If you're comfortable working alone, you want to work alone, work alone. This whole stigma that you have to have a team with 20 people and they all got to have something they're really good at, and yeah, but that comes from TV. Real paranormal investigators, In fact, one of the most famous paranormal investigators of all time is Hans Holzer. And guess what? He used the witch from Now and Then. That's about it. He was a solo ghost hunter and paranormal researcher. So there you have it, okay? Trust your team or give them a chuck. Ghost hunting hack number 13, follow your gut. It will tell you where to go next in the field. This is something I believe in wholeheartedly. I have been on many investigations where I feel I've had genuine contact after I had a little feeling to go somewhere else. I've been out with teams before, and I've kind of just left them in a room and went to somewhere else to look. I just trust my instincts. If something's telling me to move my recorder to the stairs, I'm going to do it. If something's telling me to go to the back of the house and look in a back door or take a picture or anything like that, if something's, like, my intuition's telling me to do something, I'm going to listen to my intuition. Because you know what? When it comes to the realm of the physical, or sorry, the metaphysical, when it comes to the realm of the metaphysical, you got to go with your gut instincts, because it's pretty much all you can trust when you're alone in the dark and you got your gear running. Ghost hunting hack number 14, review evidence in a good mood and in silence. Wow, there's something a lot of people don't do. And you know what? I might as well just go ahead and say it. I mentioned it earlier, many hours, okay, with headphones on my ears, listening. It is meditation, man. There's no doubt about it. I've got to be in a certain kind of mood, and I've got to be in absolute silence in order to really, really listen and see if I can find EVP. Guys, don't go over your evidence on your iPod, on the subway or something. Like, come on. This is just common sense stuff. Get yourself in a nice, comfortable chair. Relax. Maybe have a beer. Yeah, a beer. Chill out. Put your headphones on, close your eyes, and just listen. The spirits will be there, I promise you. Ghost hunting hack number 15. You know what? I don't like recommending books to people, but there's some books that just echo all the thoughts in my head. I really recommend the book War of the World Views by Deepak Chopra and Leonard Mlodinow. It just really nails the science versus spirituality debate in a non-confrontational way, and I think you should have a basic grasp of science and spirituality before you go out and do this stuff. Even if you're a non-believer in spirits, have an idea of what this stuff could be from a scientific point of view when you go out there. It's so funny. There are so many people out there who are probably curious, who are like, man, I'd love to go on a ghost hunt. But because they have the rational mind and no belief in anything spiritual, they don't ever go out. And let me tell you, if I had kept my brain that way, if I had kept on track like that, I would never be an EVP researcher. Because remember, I came into this field as an atheist. Ghost hunting hack number 16. Get other people to listen/look at what you caught and ask their opinion. The more people who agree there's something there with no preconceived notions, the more solid it is, in my opinion. And I've had many EVP that I've let other people listen to and they can't figure it out. And I've had many where everyone agrees. Like 8 out of 10 people agree that there's something there and it's saying this. So go figure. I think it makes your data more credible. And I think every member of your team should actually sign off and say, you know what? I think this is a true EVP before you broadcast anything out into the public. I think that's a courtesy to each other. Remember, what you're putting out there is your product. So make sure your product is good. Ghost hunting hack number 17. Real investigators could care less about what... Ghost hunting hack number 17. Real investigators could care less about matching hats and t-shirts. Yeah, I said it. Guys, I can appreciate a bit of branding. But honestly, I've heard stories of paranormal investigating teams going out there and people won't let you investigate by their side unless you have their gear on. I mean, come on, guys. This is ridiculous. It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's between your two earlobes in this field. Ghost hunting hack number 18. Matching hats and t-shirts are pretty cool, though. I do have a couple, and I do give them to people on occasion. Guys, just don't put too much into it. Ghost hunting hack number 19. The free software Audacity is your best friend in this field. If you're an EVP researcher, if you're somebody who's looking to capture the data, so to speak, the voices of the dead, Audacity, man. Audacity, Audacity, Audacity. Get it? If you're not using it now, you're using something that's way too complicated, okay? Ghost hunting hack number 20, never scrub an EVP. Turn it up, slow it down, or speed it up. The moment you remove noise or add more bass, you can no longer place it into the widely accepted classification system used by the best in the field. Remember, you're capturing raw data from the environment. The moment you tamper with it, take something away or add something to it, I'm sorry, but it's no longer raw data, it's manipulated data. Now, why do you think it's more credible? The EVP you can barely hear, okay? You can hear a faint voice, but you barely hear it. Or the one that's been, like, completely scrubbed over, it's been added to reverb, and sounds like something out of Amityville Horror. Like, come on. You know yourself that the raw data, even though it's not going to be as pretty, is the more credible piece of data. Ghost hunting hack number 21, turn off your phones during an investigation. Oh my God, that absolutely rots me. If you're on an investigation with me and you have your phone on, I'm going to kill you. It interferes with many types of equipment. And to this day, a spirit has yet to comment on any pictures of myself on Facebook. Just letting you know, whatever is important, it can wait until the right time. Nighttime, out in the field time is not Facebook time, guys. Turn off your phones. Don't be so foolish. You don't need it. To give you an example, just a little personal anecdote, I might as well just throw it out there to you. I was actually investigating last year at an open ghost hunt, okay? And we were about a half hour into an hour and a half, and we were starting to get some hits. We had the spirit box going, and we were starting to get some genuine data, in my opinion, and it started sounding really cool. And then suddenly all I heard at the other end of the building was a sound of horse clops, like, and I heard a whinny, like a, I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is that? And only to find out it's somebody's stupid cell phone ringer going off. Like, I was so rotted, I didn't even want to continue on. I felt like telling that person to leave, but I never, because, you know, they paid to be there. It was for a charity thing. But man, turn off your cell phones. Seriously. Like, you're wasting your time by leaving them on. Ghost hunting hack number 22. Ask questions during EVP sessions at 10 to 20 second intervals. Sometimes spirits just need time to answer. That is something I believe wholeheartedly in as well. You have got to give them a chance to speak. And I'm talking like probably 20, 30 seconds, guys. Like give them a little bit of time. Sometimes we make the mistake of going on to the next question because we're a little nervous or excited or we're just not paying attention. And man, I'm telling you, it's happened to me in the field and I don't want it to happen to you. I've spoken over a spirit because I knew there was an EVP coming through and I spoke over them. And guess what? The moment there's other noise besides that EVP, it's contaminated. It's not considered dead anymore. Boom. There you go. Ghost hunting hack number 23. I am bored of residences. There, I said it. I'd rather check out a haunted castle or a haunted pond. Some of the coolest evidence we have captured has been outside and in strange places. You don't have to go to a haunted house. EVP, electronic voice phenomena, ghostly pictures, orbs, everything. Anything you can put your mind through. Guess what? They're all over the place. You don't necessarily have to be indoors. That's just foolish. Turn off the TV once again because that's something they started. Okay? Get out there. Try something new. I believe in a haunted world. Maybe your driveway outside is haunted. Why don't you go check it out? Ghost hunting hack number 24. Listen to paranormal podcasts. You will learn a great deal about names, places, and the beliefs of our beloved field. Man, I am a podcaster. You're listening to one right now. And chances are you're probably a paranormal investigator listening to this right now. Guess what? You're doing exactly what I'm telling you to do right now. Podcasts are awesome. And they give you something to base your belief systems upon. Like, you can listen to a skeptical podcast about the paranormal where they talk about all the pitfalls, or you can listen to Woo Woo Magic Super Paranormal Hour that has just an hour and a half of people swearing to God that ghosts are real and witches are brewing stuff up and mummies walk the earth. You know what? It's all out there. Take what you can from it all and learn. Listen to podcasts, man. They're pretty much like listening to someone read their own stories and books. How can you not learn something? Ghost hunting hack number 25, stop moving around so much during your investigations. Constant movement means constant contamination of potential evidence. Oh, God. And you know what? If you do have to move, just announce it. Because guess what? When you brush your jacket up against the side of a recorder, it sounds a lot like a scary demon screaming. When your stomach gurgles while it digests, guess what? Sounds a lot like a demon. Guys, there's no demons. It's just you. Okay? Stop moving. Ghost hunting hack number 26, be a shameless promoter of your expertise, not your group. Your group could dissipate any time for any number of reasons. In other words, wave the team flag, but be ready to go it alone. A team is a collection of individuals, not Kool-Aid drinkers. How many times do you see on Facebook, Please share and like my Paranormal Investigation Team's page. Please share and like our page. Please check out our page. Love our page. You know what? It's just ego. How about, please check out our data. What do you think is in our data? Please share our data so that other people out there who do not believe in the paranormal perhaps will get a chance to listen to some stuff that may be legitimate. Man, that is a mouthful right there, and I probably made a lot of people angry just by saying that, but guess what? It's very much true. Chances are, when you see someone on, say, Facebook or Google Plus or anything like that, and they're into the paranormal field, and all you see is, I don't know, boobs and makeup, or all you see are people screaming and throwing fireballs at each other, like, they're not there to further the field. They're there to get more popular. They're there to have their egos fed by you, who are liking their page. Guys, go on a data-liking spree, not a Facebook page-liking spree. And with that being said, please check out the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page and drop a like. And also the Life Hazard Society Facebook page to drop a like. I need my ego fed too. Ghost hunting hack number 27. Being mistaken and faking things are two completely different beasts. Give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but be firm with your team when you know that something is or isn't there. I believe a skeptic should be at the ready at all times. Guess who my biggest skeptic is? It's my wife. I'm telling you right now. She will say the word matrixing in passing and joking around with me, but there's been many times she's listened to stuff and said, Johnny, there's nothing there. There's been other times she listened to stuff and she said, Johnny, wow, I think you have something there. That's really weird. So, you know what? It all goes back to the idea that it has to be more than you listening to this stuff. And maybe that's why you should be sharing your data and not your Facebook page. Uh-oh, we're going back to number 26 again. Have a skeptic at the ready in your group. You need that. Someone's got to keep you grounded. If not, it's the Wild West out there. Ghost hunting hack number 28. If a team member does not pick up the slack and never seems to do any of the work, then simply ask them, why? Why aren't you? They may not even realize they are holding back the process or not fulfilling their obligations to your team. There are many times people think paranormal investigation is just what you see on TV. You walk into a location, you ask a bunch of questions, you pick up your recorders, and you go home. But guess what? There's more to it than that. A lot more to it than that. And people seem to forget that everybody on a team should have a role. Everybody should have a role. Or at least a plan when you go in. How else are you going to not get false data? How else are you not going to get the best credible evidence you can possibly get? Guys, everyone should have a part in that process. And if you don't give someone the part in the process, they're basically there flying by the seat of their pants and you're asking for disaster. So there you go. If you got a member on your team who's not picking up the slack, maybe it's time you sat them down and said, hey, we need to talk. You know how you're just hanging out doing nothing? Yeah, well, we're going to change that. Here's a notepad, pen and paper. Very, very important piece of paranormal equipment. Write down what goes on, okay? Ghost hunting hack number 29. Include your significant other as much as possible. It's a lonely, lonely field. How, man, is it ever a lonely field? Home should be warm and reassuring. Answer their questions about the when, what, where, and how. I am jealous of other ghost hunting couples. I'll be honest, I'm totally jealous of them, as I will never have that cohesiveness and trust with my significant other because she is afraid to accompany me. It's that simple. On the bright side, hey, dad's night out. Yeah, you got it. I got two young kids. It's my time away. So there you go. But if you got a significant other and they're into this, take them with you. Man, I've seen it firsthand, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is. Ghost hunting hack number 30. Your friends will make fun of you. Get over it. Yep, there I said it. Most of my friends think I'm a nut job, and I completely am 100% okay with that. Because you know what? 60 years from now, when they get laid to rest, they'll leave the legacy they wanted, and I'm sure as hell going to leave the one I want to leave. Ghost hunting hack number 31, study string theory. If it is proven to be a working theory someday, it may explain just about everything about our field. If you do not know why, then turn off the foolish shows on TV and do some research. String theory, guys, is where it's at. If you're not brushed up on this, you're going to have an awfully hard time defending the idea that there is another world around us that we can't see. Ghost hunting hack number 32. Be courteous to hosts, but do not persuade them. You know what? How many times have you gone to a residence and they've said, this is what's going on, so you automatically go and look for that? You know what the first thing I do when I go to a residence is? After I listen to the person's story and do not agree with them and say, okay, that's interesting. I don't persuade them. I don't let them think that they're right or wrong about anything. The first thing I do is get my base readings. I'm looking for EMF in the house to see if they've got anything going on with their wiring. I'm looking for potential causes of what this stuff could be a natural cause. You know, are the weird sounds we're hearing in the basement coming from the cat? Guys, 9 chances out of 10, if you hear scratching on the walls and moaning, it isn't a crazy demon thing living in the wall. It's probably rats. Just throwing it out there to you. Make sure you do your preliminary stuff first. Be courteous to the host, but do not persuade them. That's what that's all about. It's about laying a foundation of realism. Okay? Of realism. That is something that is so reassuring to someone who's experiencing a haunting. I'm telling you right now, it's going to change the way they perceive you, and it's going to change the way they perceive our work in the field. Ghost hunting hack number 33. If a kid is involved, that case takes priority. I do not believe, you know, Linda Blair will be on your hands or, but you know what? Being there is very reassuring to the family who may need you. If it's out of your league, pass it along. I have experienced that. I have passed it along. There you go. I am an electronic voice phenomena researcher. I'm looking for the voices of the dead. I don't want nothing to do with possessed kids. I don't want nothing to do with weird witch stuff that is scaring the crap out of people. That Ouija board, you know what? I want nothing to do with it at all. I know what I want. I know why I'm in the field. So should you. If there's a kid involved, either you take on the case and you try to get to the bottom of it, okay, as best you can, or you pass along some more experience. And if you don't have people around you that you know have more experience than you, then you shouldn't be in the field either. Why are you out there? That's the equivalent of somebody being like, hey, I'm going to start working on cars, but have no idea how they work. I'm not going to ask anybody or read any books about it. So there you go. If there's a kid involved, guys, it takes priority over everything you do. It's a child. Okay? That is important. Is it a spiritual attachment thing with a child? Okay? Is this poor child possessed? Is there something going on? I don't know, but I'm going to say this. The fact that I don't know means I don't belong on that case, and that's why I don't take them. Okay? If it's out of your league, pass it along. Ghost hunting hack number 34. Headlamps were invented for us. Hello? You got your hands full of stuff already. Throw on a headlamp. I think they're the easiest thing ever to use. And also, you can even get them now where they tilt a little tiny bit so they're not shining in your other gear and your cameras and all that jazz. Just bear in mind, shining the light in your team members' faces can be very disorientating. It's happened to me before, too. So there's a little bonus hack for you. Ghost hunting hack number 35. Religion and spirituality are two completely different things. Know the differences and be confident in your beliefs or lack thereof. Ghost hunting hack number 36. Know the religious backgrounds of your clients. A smudge might just seem like an indoor fire to somebody who is not aware of different religious practices. Okay? I use that as a joke, but this is very, very serious. You are not going to walk into, you know, Native Americans' home and start doing Christian things like carrying crosses and stuff. It's very, very offensive. Know your client. Be objective. Go with what they know and what they understand. And if you don't know what they know and you don't know what they understand, once again, you should be researching that. Ghost hunting hack number 37. Prepare your gear 24 hours in advance of an investigation. Guys, it happens. It happens all the time. I go on an investigation and something's not working. There. I said it. It happens to me all the time. But it's not for me not having my due diligence on the subject, okay? I check all my gear the night before. I make sure everything's in working order. I want to know where everything is to in my cases so that when I get there, I'm not stressed out about where I got to put my stuff to. I'm a one-man team, so I've got to be ready to go. So there you go. Check your gear 5 hours in advance of an investigation as well. You'd be surprised how many things you remember a few hours before the investigation starts. Oh, God, I need to get more batteries. Oh, totally forgot to put a new bulb in my lamp. Oh, man, I totally forgot. I was supposed to clear off one of my, you know, SD cards so I can have more room for pictures. These things will only come to you when it comes time for investigation. I'm telling you right now, be prepared. Check your gear 24 hours and also 5 hours before. Ghost hunting hack number 39. You have no life because you are a ghost hunter algorithm. Are you ready? Hours of investigating time pieces of gear that you use to record equal hours of review. Keep that in mind. If you have an 8-man team and you have eight recorders and you do an 8-hour investigation, guess what? Everybody pitches in and goes over a recorder. Not just one person. That is an obscene amount of work. You have to be a complete nut job to take this on by yourself like me. Ghost hunting hack number 40. If you do all the work in a particular facet of the group, take credit for that and give credit where it is due. If you're the cameraman, be proud of that. I'm a paranormal cameraman. It's on my shirt. It's what I do. It's what I'm great at. And be proud of that. I'm the EVP guy. I'm doing all the audio. I don't want anything to do with videos or pictures, even though I do take some of my gear. But that's really more for, you know, just keeping myself organized and also looking for repeatable data, which is something I'm looking for. But that's a totally different kettle of fish. Guys, you know, get good at something. What's wrong with that? Why can't there be somebody who's really, really good at just standard EVP sessions? Leave me alone in the dark for 4 or 5 hours and let me do this. Why can't there be someone who's really awesome at spirit box stuff? Why can't there be someone who's really, really, like, if everyone took on one piece of gear and all had a clear objective, imagine how much smoother your investigation would go as opposed to a jumbled mess of everyone grabbing recorders and stuff and stumbling off and, you know, guided by their own ego and stupidity, doing their own thing. Oh, I've gone off on a tirade. Ghost hunting hack number 41. When speaking to people about ghost hunting, never say it's scientific fact. You're lying instantly, whether you mean it or not. Guys, stop lying to people. There's nothing scientific about paranormal investigation. It's all pseudoscience at best. Although I will argue blue in the face with people who say there's nothing to this stuff. Now, that's a different kettle of fish. So I'm going to say this to you, okay? Don't say things are scientific fact, okay? Say something more along the lines of, there are a lot of examples of. There's a lot of data collected that would, you know, lend to the idea of. Okay. Ghost hunting hack number 42. Make sure you know your level of permitted disclosure before you release anything to the public. Big time important thing. We have a ghost hunt. We capture all kinds of stuff in a house. The people are really happy because you validated their claims. And they want it all over Facebook. And they're so excited because they want people to see that they're not crazy. And the stories they've been telling about the weird stuff in the basement is actually real. And then you put the video together. And after hours and hours of editing, it looks great. And you put it up. And you share it. And it gets thousands of views. And then you get an email from the missus. And she's all angry because you used her name and she never gave you permission. You have to take the video down. All your work goes down the tubes and you've lost credibility. Guess what, guys? This might be one of the most important ghost hunting hacks I give you. Know your level of permitted disclosure. Ask them up front, do you want people to know what we capture here? If they say yes, that's great. If they say no, that's great. Make sure you ask them again before you put it out in the public because they might have a change of heart. I've written books about places open to the public. And it's so much easier for me to go to a place that's open to the public because I got no one to answer to as opposed to a residence where I got to beg sometimes for permission. Ghost hunting hack number 43. Wear black. It reflects less light and helps your figure. Okay. I threw that last one in there for a joke. But honestly, black really does absorb light. And like you're taking pictures all the time and lights are flashing around. The last thing you want, okay, is to be just a disco ball. Suddenly everything looks like there's ghosts everywhere and all it is your silly little t-shirt you got on. So there you go. Wear black, guys. Now this one goes out to my good friend Melissa Martin Ellis. She is a dear friend. She's been on my podcast before and I'm going to give her a shout out right now because you know what? She was number 44 on my list. Buy and read the Everything Ghost Hunting book by Melissa Martin Ellis. It's fantastic for newbies and experienced people alike. It really drives home the basics and reminds the experienced people what is and what is not on an investigation. Guys, what can I say? I love her to death. I gotta plug her book because her book really is a gigantic ghost hunting hack. Go buy it. Ghost hunting hack number 45. Bad mood, bad investigation, period. Yeah. I made that mistake. I went out into the field and I was in a horrible, horrible, rotten, no good mood. And the unthinkable happened. I was doing a spirit box session and I was walking by myself. And you know what played through the spirit box? Johnny is sad. Johnny is sad. Now, don't get me wrong. It's an awesome capture because not only did it give me validation through my name and my mood, it also gives you the idea that these spirits can observe us. But Johnny is sad after listening to that too, because just imagine what cool EVP I might have been able to get if I wasn't in such a rotten mood. I might have had some really good contacts. So there you go. Don't go out in a rotten mood. Go out in a good mood. Or no mood at all. Go out normal. Go out calm. But don't go out mad and angry. I'm afraid this might be what you end up capturing. Ghost hunting hack number 46. Gas up your car before you go out, because Murphy's Law is very active during investigations. It happened to me. All this stuff happened to me, guys. I'm just throwing it out to you. And let me tell you, when you're really excited about going to someone's house and you haven't been out in God knows how long, and you're like, oh, I can't wait, this is going to be so awesome, and then you get there and you do your hunt and you go home and you're so tired and you look down your gas tank and you realize, oh my God, I'm out of gas, and then your car breaks down. Yeah, it really puts a damper on all the fun you had. But on the bright side, while waiting for the tow truck, you can go over your data. Ghost hunting hack number 47. EMF meters have never been proven to detect ghosts. There, I said it. They can be used to rule out any potential interference from electrical wiring or other sources. They basically help you rule out EMF as a cause of a haunting, not a ghost. If a spirit can manipulate this device for two-way communication, that's great, but I guarantee you 99.9% of the time, it's just a green light in the background distracting you. Use it for sweeps and leave it be. Now, with that being said, I know people who love their EMF meters, and they do have some success with them. Remember, if it's EMF, many things make an EMF meter go off. Guys, any kind of electrical wiring, lifting the thing up and holding it in your hand makes it go off. If it's not stationary, right away the data is contaminated. I've seen it on ghost hunting shows. People walk around with it in their hands, and I'm thinking to myself, you idiot, put it down on the ground. I've seen genuine communication with one before, but like that was after using it like hundreds of times. Guys, there's more effective pieces of equipment. Use it as a sweeping device to debunk things, okay? That's really what you should be using it for. Ghost hunting hack number 48. If you use a catch cam, do not throw away the empty pics. Think about it. Something in them triggered that device to activate. If the photo has no known cause, then it's evidence. That's data. That's something that's really, really important. You're taking a picture of thin air and it's making infrared like go off. Why is that? That's super important. Just because there's nothing in the picture doesn't mean nothing set off that sensor. So, guys, don't throw out those pictures with nothing in it. You might actually have something there. Ghost hunting hack number 49. White orbs and pictures are way too easy to write off. Now, if you get one on a strange flight path on video that glows and pulsates in a breezeless room, that's more than likely paranormal. But what the heck are those things anyhow? I'm going to tell you, the majority of orbs out there are dust particles, water particles, things that are being just overexposed by the lens of your camera. Guys, forget the orbs. Unless they're on video from two different angles, they're not legitimate data. I know people who swear up and down that orbs are the shiznit. They are it. They are proof of afterlife, but they aren't, guys. They're too easily recreatable. I have a little project for you guys to try right now, okay? You can do it with your cell phone if you really want, okay? Put the flash on your phone, and I want you to go over to a couch cushion, okay? And I want you to go over, and I want you to smack it really hard 5 times, and then I want you to take a picture with the flash. Suddenly, your camera will be full of orbs. Now, either you have a possessed, haunted cemetery, you know, maybe underneath where your couch is too, or you're getting overexposed dust. That being said, I have seen orbs that would make me think they are paranormal because they are brightly colored. They're on video and their flight path is erratic. Doesn't make any sense. So look for more solid stuff, and definitely not on picture. It has to be video. Okay? Once again, on the subject of orbs for number 50, do not use a flash camera and expect people to jump all over your orb pictures. Light reflects off dust, moisture, and whatnot quite easily. Take a picture with a flash and without in the field and see what happens. And a little tip between me and you on the same subject, make sure you take 3 pictures at a time. It shows a flight path. It worked for me not too long ago. I got a picture of a mist, and the mist is moving. 1, 2, 3 pictures in the frame, and it was one of my favorite captures. So there you go. Okay? Super important. 50 of these ghost hunting hacks are down. Guys, I'm going to save the other 51. We're going to do one extra because, you know, it'll be close to Halloween when I release it, and I'll be extra excited. 51 more coming your way. I really hope you enjoyed these 50 examples of how to make your paranormal investigating better in every single way. Remember, guys, if even one of these hacks really helped you out, then this podcast was totally worth it. That being said, I do have to plug a few things. If you're interested in the paranormal and you want to learn more about it, especially here in Newfoundland, I want you to check out my book, Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland, where I document almost 70 EVP from around the province of just really strange, weird stuff. Check it out. Another thing too, this has been Ghost Hunting Hacks, but this is not my usual format for my podcast. It's a once a month podcast. I like to think that anybody who's listening to this right now are already a fan, but if you're not, check out my podcast. It comes out on the first of every month. It's a monthly podcast. It has paranormal news. And we hear from my friend from MUFON to give us an update on all the goings on MUFON and stuff and talk about UFOs. It has oddities where I talk about 10 really strange facts that are very, very true. And also it has a guest. Every single show has a guest. So check it out. There you go. This month, of course, is October. It's a very special month. On the first of this month, I put out ghost stories, open mic ghost stories. So it was a different format again. So don't take these episodes that's out in October as what my podcast is all about. This is special bonus content because it's the Halloween season. But starting November 1st, we're right back on track with what we're used to. A formatted show that's highly produced. And I think you guys are really going to like it, okay? Anyhow, guys, for the oldest city in North America, I really appreciate you listening in to 101 Ghost Hunting Hacks. This is episode 1, done and done. Episode 2 is coming your way in just a little while. Keep your eyes open for it. Please share this with anybody in the paranormal field. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are going to find what I say controversial, and there's a lot of people there who would agree with a lot of stuff I say. That's fine. Don't worry about that. Just get it out there, because you know what? Ghost hunting hacks can make your investigations better. Guys, I love you to death. Thanks so much for listening. Happy hunting.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.